So my name is Susan Schrader, and I'm presenting today on the development of an online interactive asthma self-management program for children and families. Still waiting for it to load. I am the project manager for this project. My financial disclosure statement, I am employed by the Oregon Center for Applied Science, and we are a public health research organization. We do research and software development. We're located in Eugene, Oregon, and we're developing this asthma management program with funding from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And we were funded to develop an intervention for children aged 5 through 10 and related resource materials for parents. Today, I'm going to talk about findings from focus groups that we conducted as part of our formative research for this project. We conducted a total of 18 focus groups, 9 with children and 9 with their parents or their primary caregiver. And I'll discuss how we used the findings from these focus groups to develop our intervention. We held groups in 4 locations, Eugene and Portland, Oregon, Baltimore, Maryland, and Oakland, California, and we traveled outside of Oregon in order to get more cultural diversity in our groups. And as our previous speaker told us, in Baltimore, of course, we found a lot of children and with asthma. Another reason why we went there, and also why we went to Oakland, there's a high rate of asthma there too. We organized the groups by race, ethnicity of the child. Our participation was 51% African American, 18% multicultural, 16% Caucasian, and 15% Hispanic. We had 62 children participate and 61 parents. In the children's groups, these were 53% male, and the mean age was 7.9. The child needed to have physician-diagnosed asthma and needed also to have prescribed controller medication. And the parents' groups were majority female, 77% female. They were mostly mothers, but we did have some grandmothers participate. In each community, we hired and trained focus group facilitators who matched the race ethnicity of the children's groups. Our facilitators were mainly asthma educators and American Lung Association staff. We recruited our participants through contacts that we made in each community, through the Lung Association and through local asthma coalitions and through our facilitators. And we sometimes placed newspaper ads. At the groups, we consented the parents and children together and then separated them into their own groups, child and parents. So we have a lot of data from these 18 focus groups, as you can imagine. The parents' groups lasted for 90 minutes and the children's groups about 60 minutes. We transcribed the tapes and coded the transcripts. And obviously, I don't have enough time today to talk about everything that we found in these groups. So I'm presenting the major themes today that emerged from our qualitative analysis. And this is definitely a qualitative presentation. I'm not presenting statistics or chi-squares or anything like that. It's more of a look and feel of these 62 children and parents who talked to us about their asthma and their concerns and their issues about living with asthma. The most common theme that we heard among the children was they talked about their physical limitations due to asthma. Remember, these are children aged 5 through 10 who want to be active. And children said things like, I can't go outside and play. I can't do things I like to do. And they named specific things they couldn't do, like go camping or go hiking, play football. They kind of felt sidelined in their life. In this comment, my parents, they say, all you can do is just sit around. This is representative. We had a number of comments like this about just sitting around, and my parent makes me stay inside. The most frequent comment among the parents' groups was the parents talked about their children's symptoms. The parents talked about their child being sick, about coughing a lot, not being able to breathe, not sleeping at night, and having symptoms so severe that they needed to go to the ED or even stay overnight in the hospital. And in all of these comments, the parents, in a lot of these comments, the parents expressed the fear that comes with having a child with asthma. Another common theme in our parents' groups was concern about the side effects of the medications. And this, of course, is a barrier that can get in the way of complying with medications protocols. Parents have fears about the side effects, so they may not administer the medications as often as might be needed to maintain control. Our parents talked about the medications making their child feel hyper or excited. They felt that the medications made their child gain weight. And we had a number of parents who expressed the belief that the medications make the child get bulked up or have overdeveloped muscles. And this references a common myth about the inhaled corticosteroids, that they are the same as anabolic steroids. In our parents' website, we mention this belief and correct the misinformation, or at least we try to correct it. Now, the parents talked about other issues related to the medication, such as the cost or not having enough to last through the month, or issues related to communicating with their healthcare provider. But really, it was the side effects that was the main issue that they talked about the most. We wanted to know what our focus group participants knew about asthma and asthma management to help us know what teaching points to emphasize. So we asked the children if they could tell us what asthma is, if they could define it. And only about a third of the children in our groups could tell us what asthma is, and they usually only gave a partial definition. We also asked the children what people should do when they have an asthma episode, an asthma attack. And again, only about a third of them could explain this. And responses usually were, take your medicine or use your inhaler. Or sometimes a child would say, take your medicine and tell someone. We asked the children how often they were supposed to take their medications. We actually asked the parents the same question. And we found that the majority of our participants, children and parents, knew the dosing schedule. And of course, this doesn't say anything about medications compliance, but they could tell us how often they were supposed to take the medications. We also asked the children and parents to tell us how the medications worked. And here we were looking for, did they know the difference between the control and preventive medication? And we feel like this is a critical point in understanding that can lead to better medications compliance, which we know is relatively low across all population groups. And only about a quarter of the children in the groups indicated some level of knowledge of how the two types of medications worked. And in the parents' groups, about a third of the parents could explain the difference. Now, we are developing the children's program. It's a web-based program. It's an interactive game with graphics and animations. We're not actually doing any demographic tailoring, which we might do if we were going to use video in our program, but we've decided to use animated graphics. But we did organize our groups by race, ethnicity, to see if there were any differences that we might want to address in our intervention. We didn't find very many differences, but there were some. And again, these are qualitative differences. They're not statistically significant differences. In the children's group, the most common statements we heard were about their physical limitations due to asthma. And this was mentioned most often in the Hispanic children's groups, and second most often in our multicultural groups. And among the parents' groups, the most common theme was about the children's symptoms. And this was mentioned most often in the Hispanic parents' groups, and second most often in the African American groups. We asked a question, is it ever okay to skip taking your medications? We asked this of the parents and the children. And this was sort of our proxy statement for medications compliance. In the Hispanic groups, both children and parents had the highest percentage of participants who said, no, it is not okay to skip taking your meds. In the children's groups, 100% of the children said no. And in the parents' groups, 89% of the children said no, it's not okay to skip. Now, I do want to mention some limitations of our focus group study. It's self-report, of course, and we do run into some social desirability. People may say what they think you want to hear or what others in the group are saying. Not everyone responds to every question in every group. It's not like giving someone a form to fill out, a questionnaire, where most people usually do answer every question. So responses can be uneven across the groups. Also, children in this age range are not always very verbal. Certainly, they're not as verbal as adults are. So moving on to program development, we're working with the American Lung Association to develop the program, and we're really excited and really fortunate to be working with their national organization, asthma program people, to develop the content and approach for this intervention. We are actually developing two programs, an interactive website for children that has games and animated videos that teach the child about asthma, and a resource informational website for the parents. So, along with the findings from our focus groups, we developed main teaching points for our children's intervention. Along with the findings from our focus groups, we also incorporated information from the clinical guidelines, from the current literature, from our consultants, and also from our focus groups to develop our teaching points. And we present these in our children's program through animated videos, and we reinforce them through simple questions and answers that immediately follow the video. So we're going to teach about the definition of asthma. We would teach this anyway, of course, but we did see that the level of knowledge about what asthma is was somewhat low among the children in our groups. We're going to teach the difference between quick relief and control medication. Again, this was also an area of knowledge deficit, even considering the young age of our children. We're talking about the importance of following your medication protocol. Even though the children and parents in our groups knew their dosing schedule, we still want to reinforce this, especially when we talk about the difference between the two types of medications and when we know that medications compliance is low. Another major teaching point is for the children is steps to take when you feel your warning signs. The children in our focus groups really only had partial knowledge of how to respond to an asthma episode, and then only about a third of them. And this is an important part of the American Lung Association's curriculum in their Open Airways for Schools program. And this is targeted to an older age group, ages 8 through 11, but we felt it was important to begin teaching this at the younger age too. And throughout our children's program, in the graphics and in the message framing, we're emphasizing how to be an active, healthy kid and still have asthma. And hopefully this will speak to the many comments children had about their physical limitations due to asthma. And here's our asthma action kid busting through his triggers and warning signs. And our website for parents, we're providing basic information about asthma, about medications and triggers, and communicating with your healthcare provider. We have a section about empowering your child, which is how a parent can work with their child to help them to learn how to self-manage as these children, age 5 and up, are spending more time away from home and becoming more independent. We have created three interactive and actionable tools for the parent, an interactive quiz with feedback to hopefully troubleshoot the common barriers to medications compliance, side effects among them. And there's a printable checklist of questions and topics to take to your next healthcare provider visit, and an asthma action plan form to print and take to your doctor. When we asked in our focus groups if parents had an asthma action plan form, just under half of them said that they had one. And of course, we would like to see that at 100%. And our next steps, we're completing the websites this month. And in January, we're going to start our evaluation. We're doing a randomized clinical trial with 330 dyads, child-parent pairs. and we're having recruitment assistance from the American Lung Association. And when the evaluation is complete, the program will be situated on the American Lung Association website, so it'll be available for public use. One more slide.